Welcome to Two Chicks, Three Seats, the podcast that takes a look at the hospitality industry's hottest topics.
Two Chicks, Three Seats is hosted by Kate Kennedy and Rachel Calkins and is brought to you by Triple Seat, the industry leader in event management software.
Find out more about Triple Seat at tripleseat.com.
Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Two Chicks, Three Seats. We're excited to bring you a fun social media episode today that will hopefully give you some ideas, inspiration, and insight into what is popular on social media right now. Rachel actually just attended a social media conference, so we are hot with some ideas at the moment. So without further ado, let's just get it started. Jump right into it. Talk about what you learned, Rachel.
I learned a lot. Yeah, I was at Social Media Marketing World in San Diego. So there's so many different things that are happening right now with social media that are all exciting, and that restaurants and event venues and hotels and breweries and literally anyone, catering companies can get involved with. There's literally something for everyone. So the first big theme that they talked about on this conference was short form video is everything right now on social media. So this was just a huge takeaway across all the platforms, but especially TikTok, the good old talk. And
I love the talk.
And there's actually, I hadn't even really heard about it before, but YouTube now has their own version called YouTube Shorts. And LinkedIn is rolling something out. Facebook is, like, everyone is on the short form video right now. But the most popular way that it's seen is on Instagram and TikTok. So on Instagram, that's Reels. And then on TikTok, that is just TikTok. And TikTok is actually the number one most popular app on the interwebs right now. So even above Google, it is literally number one. So if that isn't
that's crazy.
Telling,
sorry,
I know.
Can I just stop there for a second? That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's above.
I mean, I'm not surprised, but that's crazy.
Yeah. Right? So that's like a big statistic. And, you know, the point there is that if you're not on TikTok, which Triple Seat hadn't been, then now it's the time. So Triple Seat is now on TikTok. So restaurants listening out there, I feel like it may be scary, but there are restaurants, and I see it all the time. I see restaurants, I see wedding planners, I see event venues promoting their stuff on TikTok in the form of short form videos. So it's definitely the leap that you want to be taking. And just as another side note about why it's such a great platform to be using, according to the experts that we're talking, and just, you know, from kind of what I can see as a social media person in the whole world of social media, then TikTok is kind of the easiest platform to quote unquote go viral. And not that going viral is easy to do, but compared to other platforms, TikTok favors, you know, the virality of videos more so than maybe others do that take a little bit more growth to them. So just another reason that you want to be getting involved. So as a restaurant, there's so many ways, restaurant, unique venue, brewery, whoever you are, there's so many ways that you can get into TikTok and like the kind of videos that you could be making for these short form videos that are really popular right now. So the number one thing is following trends. So if you scroll through TikTok, you're going to see some of the same trends being repeated across different accounts, whether that be like business accounts, personal accounts. So this could be trending sounds, trending phrases, a trending action that someone's doing in a video. And according to some of the experts that I was hearing from at this conference, one of the best trends for businesses to try out is the POV trend, quote unquote, which means point of view. And so you probably have seen it, Kate, and I'm sure listeners have seen how, you know, you make a video and you're kind of showing it from the perspective of what you're talking about in the video. Mm-hmm. So I'll explain that a little bit. So things to keep in mind here when you're making this kind of video is you want to adapt these videos to your niche so that your niche audience that you're going after understands. So if us at Triple Seat are making a video, we're going to be trying to target event planners, event managers, everyone at restaurants, you guys that are listening, so that you'll see and engage and like feel and like understand what we're posting about. And so, I mean, if you're a restaurant in Boston, then maybe your direct audience is your local Bostonians, the restaurant goers, people who are planning parties, obviously. And so those are the people that you're trying to attract and the perspectives that you're kind of trying to play on with these trends. So a way you can do this with the POV video. So something I was kind of thinking about, if Triple C was making a POV video trying to promote Triple C, then on the text, they could write something like, quotes, your boss wants you to increase sales, but won't let you buy triple C. And then in the background, it's like the, oh no, 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 no sound in the background. But, and so, you know, we're kind of following along with that trend, that sound that I'm sure a lot of you can recognize. And then also showing how it's related to our audience, who's event planners that we're trying to, you know, obviously promote triple C to. And so maybe for you guys in the restaurant world, it could be something like POV when your bartender creates the best new drink. And then there's some sort of like fun, exciting trend. You know, there's so many out there. I'm sure that there's things that we could all think of. But there's fun ways to do it. And you can just put text on the screen that says POV and then like write out the text for the relatable situation. And then you can have music playing in the background, some trends, you know, you're lip syncing to the song while you do it. So just scroll through TikTok and flag or like star favorite some of the videos that you think could be relative to your audience. And that could be a good place to start. And some other tips for creating short form video is put your face in the videos. So your sales team, your bartender, your servers, our brains are like literally hardwired to respond well to faces positively. And so it may be intimidating to, you know, put your face in the video, but it gets people to know you and your brand. And just like behind the science of video and looking at people's faces, people just respond better to those kind of videos when you see someone in the video. So, you know, there's no reason to be scared. It's fun.
Get your face. We do it with the podcast. I know it's different, but like we used to just record the audio and not record video. And then we started recording video. And I feel like we have better engagement with the podcast. So it makes sense.
You do like- I don't know. I was thinking that too, as I was literally setting up here and I was like, okay, we're talking about all this stuff. And now I'm trying to think of some, you know, ideas for triple C tech talk. And I'm like, okay, I guess my face is getting in this. But I do this all the time for this kind of stuff. So
right.
It's just a way to do it. Some other ideas for the short form video is you can do role play videos. So one person is playing like multiple characters in a video. So maybe you could pretend that like you're the event person and then like your client is the other person, but it's really you as both people, but you kind of like tell the story both ways and show both perspectives in the situation. There's ASMR videos, which is like no music, just talking like, Emily Marie, no music, either talking or like the sounds in the video. Yeah. So like, if you know, Emily Mariko, who does the salmon bowl, the rice bowl, she does all these cooking videos. So she emphasizes like the sounds of her, like opening up her containers or like chopping things on her cutting board. So I feel like this could definitely be something that restaurants could play on too. Like dropping the pasta in a pot that's boiling water and then chopping things on the cutting board again, or swishing stuff around in bowls,
mixing drinks,
clinking glasses.
Yeah.
There's definitely room for ASMR.
Lots of noises in the restaurant world.
right.
Plenty of
shouting,
them.
Shouting from the back kitchen,
cooks yelling at you. It's my everything.
And then there's also oddly satisfying videos. That's another theme. So these ones, definitely one of the experts in the conference was saying they attract the younger generations, which I didn't even really think about, but I guess it makes sense. But for the restaurants, maybe it's like freshly cutting into a freshly baked cake. So it's like beautiful. You pull it away, the frosting, a cheese pull. Everyone loves a cheese pull, something exciting with like your, just, I don't know, the theatrics of your food. So those are fun things that you could also get into. And then when you're making these videos, you want to be adding some sort of CTA to the video too. So maybe this could be in the caption of your video on TikTok. You can make a caption if you didn't know for a video. You have hashtags as well. 3 to 5 hashtags is what they recommend for TikTok videos, since it's just a smaller caption as opposed to Instagram. Mm-hmm. So some ideas for CTAs on a TikTok video could be to follow you for more. That could make, say, tell them to comment below. So maybe encouraging engagement in general and like pushing community, which is something you want to be doing on TikTok as well. But you could ask them to like give their feedback on a drink, a food. Maybe you have some sort of contest for like the name of something new for your menu. You could also make the CTA being something about booking an event at your venue if your venue mentions events. So maybe that's the theme. And then in the caption, you're like, book now to make this your event, something like that. On TikTok, you only get a link in your TikTok bio if you get 1,000 followers on the app. So if you have that, then maybe you could create a link tree, which lets you have multiple links off of one link. Do you know what that is?
No, I've never heard this before, but interesting.
So a link tree is basically like a link in your bio that you could click, and then it's a tree, because then it like from the link tree, it kind of opens up this like landing page, you could say, that has multiple different things that you could click on. So we have a version of it in the triple seat link in our bio. So
oh, I know. Click on it.
Yeah. Okay. Another word for it is like a smart bio. Linktree is just one of the brands that you can make it through. So you could click on this link in the bio, one link that you get, since you only get one link in your, it's same thing with Instagram, your Instagram bio, your TikTok bio, once you get 1,000 followers, and then that lets you lead you to like all these other things. So if you had that one Linktree, then one of the links off of that could be to book an event. One could be to make a reservation for dinner. You know, one could be to follow you on Instagram, that kind of thing. TikTok actually does have like an Instagram icon. So when you're setting up your page, it lets you like add a link to your Instagram page. So one of the other CTAs could be to push them to your Instagram page if you're like maybe having a social media contest of some sort. So there's a couple different things, but there's positives of leaving them on your TikTok. So like by doing follow for more or like having them comment there, but then you could also push them to other places like booking an event, book a reservation, or follow you on social media. So that's TikTok, and Instagram Reels work similarly as TikTok do, except on Instagram, it's the same kind of thing with making the videos short, fun, sweet. And then you can pretty much post the same things on both of the platforms. But one really important thing to note is that you don't want to keep the TikTok watermark when you're posting it on Instagram, because obviously they're competitors and Instagram doesn't like when you're posting the TikTok watermark onto their platform. So there is a hack that I learned at this conference that you can go to SnapTik. So SnapTik .app. So .app. And that is like a little, it's not like a Instagram or TikTok approved app, but it's kind of, you know, one of those out there that helps you get rid of the watermark. I'll put it in the description too. But so that way, when you export a video that you had made in TikTok onto your phone, you can get rid of the watermark so that it doesn't stick there when you're posting it on Instagram. And then, yeah, when it comes to the content that you're making for these Instagram Reels, most of the trends that are relevant on TikTok that I was mentioning before can also be relevant on Instagram. A lot of the trends will start on TikTok and then make their way to Instagram Reels. So they'll be definitely understood in both places. So that's me on short form video.
A lot of information, Rachel.
And I'm feeling great about that because I'm presenting at Triple C University next week. And now I'm like, bam,
this is your practice. You got this. You just, seriously. Nailing this. Look past the audience at TSU so that like you, like on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
That was great.
You are up, Kate.
Oh, I'm up. Okay. So one of the things that I do, and this is not from social media marketing world. I probably would have learned a thing or two though. Well, maybe I should go next year just to learn more about like paid ads.
Yeah.
So one of the things I do in my job at Triple C is create the paid ads, for social and for like, you know, Google ads and pay per click and all that fun stuff. But today I'm just going to talk about social. We won't talk about Google ads because that's a whole other, I mean, I could do an entire episode on Google ads. So we won't go there, but when it comes to social ads and what obviously I'm talking about, the three that we do at Triple C are Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, but we mainly do LinkedIn just because we're a B2B company. So it works the best for us. But for hospitality brands, restaurants, in-house brands, catering, you could probably benefit from all three, I would imagine, depending on your audience, obviously. So that's my first point, is to determine which social sites make the most sense for your business and the specific ad that you're creating. So maybe there's a need for all of them, or maybe you decide that your audience is like strictly corporate, therefore LinkedIn would probably work best. Or maybe you're strictly social, no corporate, maybe Facebook and Instagram would work best. Or maybe you're trying to break into a new segment, so you would go and target that segment at whichever one makes the most sense for that. And there's no shame in posting to your ads to all sites. But if you have the time to really think about segmenting, you may want to adjust the ad copy and the images in the ad for each social platform, because each one really speaks to a different audience. Like Facebook tends to be an older crowd, whereas LinkedIn is definitely more corporate focused. And I feel like Instagram kind of, combines the two of them really. And it's a younger crowd, I think, mainly. I mean, older people are getting into Instagram, but I really think it's definitely a younger crowd. So do your research. It's important for that. And then, when you start to create ad copy, for some people, this can be daunting. And I get it. I do a lot of ad copy for Triple C. And it's not easy. And it also takes like a certain type of feeling, like you're having a certain, like I'll wake up literally and be like, I'm going to write ad copy today because I'm feeling it. Right. But there are definitely days where I'm like, no. Yesterday I stared at my computer for literally an hour at one ad, like two sentence ad copy that I created. And I was like, I don't like it. I just stared at it and I was like trying to think of it. And I was like, I got to stop. I'm done. I think that's when I came over to your desk, Rachel. And I was like, I'm done for the day.
We're done for the day. Let's go to dinner now.
Just stare at the same two sentences for almost an hour. Like I am done. Clearly.
It happens.
But, yeah, it does. So when you're going in to create ad copy, the first thing you want to do is determine your objective for the ad. So is this ad for a very specific promotion or is this an evergreen ad? And an evergreen ad is basically just a search optimized ad, you know, and it will stay relevant for long periods of time. So you can use it over and over again. Think like, we're trying to think of a really popular one, but like, I'm loving it. The McDonald's ad, I'm loving it, right? That's right. An evergreen ad. You can use that forever. But, you know, if you're going after like, maybe this is specifically for Mother's Day, and that's obviously not an evergreen ad. But in that case, the ad's purpose, it's to drive traffic to your website or your online ordering page. And if it's a general ad or an evergreen ad, you know, usually it's about like brand awareness or how amazing your product is. So the purpose is obviously reach and like getting that brand awareness, building on it, all that good stuff. So once you have an objective, that will help you determine which CTA or call to action button makes the most sense. And you should never, ever assume that, you know, that the reader or your prospects know the action you want them to take. So be really clear about your objective when you're creating a CTA. And I talk about that a lot in email marketing too. The same goes for social ads. You know, you can't just I mean, a lot of people do it, but don't just say like, click here. And then like that, like people just assume that your audience is really stupid. Always assume the worst. They're not, clearly, but just assume it because people don't want to try or think about things. So like you tell them exactly what you want them to do. Like, what is your main objective? Let them know that. Right. And then when it's time to really dive into the copy, make sure that it correlates with your brand's, you know, voice and personality. And of course, also the personality of the people that you're trying to target. And it's really hard to nail down ad copy. So don't get frustrated if you don't get it the first time, or if it's not perfect the first time. It rarely ever is perfect the first time. I tend to like A/B test two different ads with two different copies and images, and I mix the images and the copy around. And then you look and look back and what worked best, and then try to go with something similar the next time you're creating an ad. And definitely never use clickbait, never, ever use clickbait. So like reeling in your prospects with fake bait can, you know, do a lot of damage to your brand, and it can also break the trust with your potential clients. So it used to be overly used, and it worked back in the day, but now people are too smart now. They're not stupid. They're smart. So
we've evolved since the start of this segment.
Okay. They started stupid. Now they're smart. So don't use clickbait. And then like, you know, just make sure that whatever ad you're building and the size of the copy, how many sentences, words, how big the button is, like make sure that works with the platform you're using. So every platform has different ad specs. LinkedIn, I'm really familiar with LinkedIn because that's what we do most of our stuff with, but I know that Facebook and Instagram are different sizes as well. So it's not hard to find out that information, especially if you're using, like an image creator or like a, you know, a creative software like Canva. Canva will just be like, create a Facebook ad. Like it knows the size. So, and you can just Google it. It's everywhere. So, just some tips with that. And then like, I feel like building and creating and managing social ads can quickly turn into a full-time job. I know this firsthand. You think that like, I think once you get the ball rolling, it becomes easier, but in the beginning it takes so long. It's unbelievable how much time you can spend. But it's totally worth it. Like the more relevant, the more you post, the more relevant your brand will become. And the more traffic that you'll get to your sites, the more organic traffic you'll get. It's really important. You know, I know that you pay a little bit for LinkedIn paid ads, but I mean, pay a little bit for all of them, but they're worth it. The amount of money you're paying is in the end like so low to what the ROI should be if you do it right. And then always make sure that you're monitoring like your return on your social ads. So when you run, you know, certain ads or promotions, they should have a positive impact on your bottom line, but make sure you're tracking that. And you'll be able to tell what's working, what's not working. And obviously this leads me to SEO, which scares a lot of people who aren't familiar with it. It scared me before I was, you know, fluent, not fluent, totally not fluent, but it's part of my job now. And for those of you that don't know, SEO is search engine optimization. It basically just means, it's a process used to get more online visibility, more traffic to your website, more consistent conversion rates. Which ultimately leads to more business through organic traffic to your website. And that's what the ultimate goal is with anything that you do as far as advertising online. And a great way for, especially for hospitality, like hospitality businesses in general, this doesn't really work for what we do at Triple Seat for B2B, but B2C businesses, and especially hospitality businesses, to get a better SEO ranking, backlinking is really popular. So, you know, you look for reputable hospitality businesses in your area, or like food blogging, or like journalists who do, you know, stuff with hospitality or in your specific industry. And what you do is you share their links back to their website and content, right? And then eventually, the more you share their stuff, if you create content similar and start tagging them in that content and sharing their links, eventually the hope is they'll reciprocate and tag you back and share your stuff, which in turn ups both of your SEO rankings. So it's like a mutual relationship. And you can start just by like stalking people and tagging them and doing this and doing that. And this could be something as simple. Let's say you're a catering company and you work a lot with, a specific venue. Like you don't have a venue, but you're a catering company and you work with this venue a lot. Start tagging them in all your posts and then, you know, sharing their stuff. And then eventually they'll do the same for you. So that's the idea behind it. But you can also do it for, I've seen restaurants do it for other restaurants, like competitors, because, you know, in hospitality, especially, I feel like it's important to be, you know, befriend your enemy, really.
Right.
And especially we've seen that a lot after, you know, during the pandemic and people coming together and that whole thing and helping each other out. And this way, like you're helping each other. And I love the camaraderie between, like, if your venue can't do it, then you'll be like, but down the street, they have a great room and you should book with them or that sort of thing. So the bottom line there is like sharing back and forth of your links will benefit your SEO and website traffic, and it will also benefit theirs in the end. So that was my very high level overview and tips on paid ads for hospitality.
I love that. And something you said at the beginning, which I didn't even think about, putting your like restaurant ads onto LinkedIn, because there are obviously so many corporate people that are just searching LinkedIn all day, whether that be for like recruitment things or the corporate events person, hiring things. And, you know, if you see a restaurant come up with an ad for like some corporate lunch or whatever, they need catering too. I feel like I never would have thought of that, which may be obvious for some people.
Well, I've seen it more and more recently. I think that before the pandemic, I didn't see it as much, or maybe I just wasn't in it as much, but I used to see, and I still see, you know, I follow a lot of our customers on LinkedIn, but they're corporate offices, right? So it's, they're posting about job openings or like, you know, new people that they just, a new chef that they're excited about on LinkedIn. But they started more recently, I've seen a lot of them start posting like, do you need catering for, you know, your corporate holiday event or whatever it is, on LinkedIn. And the few people I've talked to about it said that it is working. And like I said, it's definitely, you wouldn't post something about like a Mother's Day special. I don't think, I mean, I don't really know what the return would be on that on LinkedIn. Of course, there's many mothers and people who plan Mother's Day events on LinkedIn, but LinkedIn, I think when you log into LinkedIn and you're looking at ads, you're in a corporate mind. You're in a work mindset. You're not in a social mindset. It's just the way LinkedIn works. So, but yeah, I think it can be beneficial, and it's, you know, the cost is pretty low, for what you get in return. So yeah, something to try. If it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you, but you might as well give it a shot. Why not?
Yeah. Okay. So the last theme number three for this episode is increasing engagement on Instagram. So I did attend a really great session on how to increase engagement on Instagram with some tips from two Instagram experts. And they took us through a couple steps that you should follow in order to get this kind of like increased engagement that you want. So I'm going to walk us through those steps here. So the first step, and I'm pulling on my Instagram and my phone because I'm going to read a couple things on here, just like as I go through it too. So step number one is you really have to be picking a niche/singular topic to be focusing on when you're posting on your Instagram account. And so you should be getting really targeted with what you post. So for you as a restaurant or event venue, then likely your niche is your restaurant in the market or markets that you're in. So you're either you're a restaurant in Austin, you're a caterer in Baltimore, random city.
That was so random. No. Shout out to Baltimore.
Obviously, it's like your brand that you're posting about and your promotions and everything that happens at your restaurant. So it's the people that you're going that are going to be following you or looking for you are definitely, I feel like, location based, especially. And if you're like a, if some, I feel like I've seen some Instagram accounts are just like one brand and then they have locations everywhere. So if there's one in your area, then likely you're going to follow it. But yeah, basically you're just sticking with your brand and staying on target with that brand, which I feel like it's pretty straightforward. And a tip for that is like when you're posting on the feed, then that's like really where you want to be honing on your niche. So like really posting always on the niche there, but then on your stories, you can really show who you are, who your, what your personality is like. So those don't always have to necessarily be like targeted. So like, yes, it's going to be targeted, but not as much strategically as on your feed is going to be. So that's just piece number one, find your niche and always post about your niche. Number two is just to make sure that you clean up your bio and your feed. So I'm pulling up my Instagram for Triples or the Triple C Instagram right now. You want to always have an updated profile picture for your Instagram account. You want to have your title and then you want to have, which is like, there's like a little thing underneath that has like a description of what you are. So ours is a software company. And then you want to have your name. Ours is Triple C. You want to have like your bio description. So ours is like our a catering and event management web-based platform for restaurants, hotels, and venues that increases sales and streamlines the booking process. And then another thing that I didn't realize before was a credentials, like a piece of credibility that you can put into the bio. So for them who were like Instagram experts, they have like this program. And so their like piece of credibility was created a 7-figure brand. And so they had that into their bio. So I'm going to add something to the Triple C one that's like used by 15,000 plus establishments nationwide, like that kind of thing. So maybe for your restaurant,
like, you can just change it every month and be like 700,000 leads delivered and counting.
That's a good idea.
But like every month, this month right. and counting, or you could be right. like ever. I mean, that's a large number. That would be like 2 billion leads and counting.
Here I go every day updating the numbers just for the Instagram bio. But for your restaurant, I don't know, maybe like number one ranked restaurant in this county or like top 10 in this magazine, like that kind of thing. So some sort of like fun credential statistic that you can add in there, include that in the bio. Then obviously you have your link, which is your CTA. You just get one of them. Like I kind of mentioned earlier, so you could do like a link tree for that, or maybe it's just like your website, a landing page, a lead form, something like that.
Lead form.
Just make sure that you clean up your bio and you're like strategically choosing what you're putting in this section of your Instagram, because that's like the first thing obviously that people see. It's like a little glimpse into what your profile is going to be about. So step number three that they talked about was post with a growth strategy. So we're looking for consistent growth when we're trying to grow the Instagram and increase engagement. So tip number one here is to post share-worthy content. So that's things that people would want to share and send to others. And like shares are great on Instagram because shares equal growth. So like if a restaurant posted something, you know, maybe they're having a local contest and something that on the contest to win something, I have to share it on my Instagram story. Then by me sharing it on my Instagram story, all my other followers are going to see it as well. So the restaurant,
if it links back to your website, because that increases your SEO ranking, just throwing that.
Yeah. Okay. Right on. So like if I'm sharing that, then that piece of content that they made, like whatever the little promotional thing is that they posted on their Instagram page, that's an example of share-worthy content that now I am sharing onto my own page. And then that will be shared with my followers too. So you want to post things that people will resonate with, that say something about you. So other ideas for this that are maybe more fun, like memes related to the industry. And like, there's so many things that you can do with like happy hour, 5 o'clock somewhere, something about carbs and pasta. And there's just so many things around eating and drinking and dancing and things that your restaurant could literally be just making memes that are relatable to diners everywhere that I would want to repost or you would want to repost. Kate loves to repost memes that she sees.
Oh my God. It's like my favorite thing to do ever. And it's funny because a lot of people that follow me don't use Instagram in that way. Like not to like call anyone out, but a lot of the like moms that I'm friends with in my town or like whatever, they don't do that. So they're always like, oh, I'm always like so excited to see the memes. So I'm like, it's not me. I'm just sharing other people's content. I'm not that funny.
That's really funny. Yeah. You know, people could think it's your own, Kate.
Yeah. Apparently I'm super funny.
But yeah, things like that, anything that's shareable, that's going to be great. So kind of just like ask yourself, how can I create or recreate this piece of content here with the restaurant so that more people will share it or want to share it? What's funny, inspiring, interesting, anything like that. So obviously sharing is great. I feel like saves, people used to think saves were the most important, which is like when you, there's a save button on Instagram, but shares are really the most important because that'll get it into other people's eyes as well. So another thing with this growth strategy is posting multiple times per day to the feed. So just continuing posting, you know, the more you post, the more likely that you'll grow and more likely people will see you. And so I know that some, could seem daunting, like having so many posts all the time. That's a lot of work for whoever's on your team that's handling your social to do. And so you could just like, you could do reposts of things as well. So like, you know, you could repost things that other creators posted that are relevant to your industry. So maybe someone else has a meme and you share that in your own story and you know, that people will still follow along with that. Just give them credit. Maybe you post it on your own page. There's so many different accounts that do this really well. And really fast growing accounts do this. It's like tiring to just post your own stuff all the time. And obviously anyone who's making content wants it to be seen and shared. So it's not like you're not stealing, just like credit the right people when you're posting it again. And then you could even like repost or recreate some of your own great content. So maybe you made like a really funny meme like 7 months ago, and then you want to like repost that kind of again, no one's going to remember that you posted that back then. Maybe it had really great engagement back then just repost it again. So you could
can I add an example in? And yeah, it's local. So there's this restaurant in Cambridge called Trina's Starlight Lounge, right? And when I lived in the neighborhood in Cambridge, I used to go there all the time. It was a regular. I love that place. I miss it so much. But they do these things where they take funny memes off the internet and they make like, it looks like it's on a refrigerator. And there's a big sticker at the top that says Trina Starlight Lounge. And they make it out of those like kids magnets that you put on refrigerators and they like repost the meme and they do it like once a day. And I'm always like, oh, what are they reposting today? I share those all the time. I know
you do share those all the time.
I love, cause they're so funny but it keeps their restaurant top of mind. And that's not even anything about their product. Like, you know, most people who know Trina's know how amazing their product is, but but yeah, it just keeps them top of mind, I feel like. And it's funny and it shows their personality really well without like them creating the content themselves. So
yeah. Right. That's funny. Yeah, exactly. Great example, Kate. So yeah, just resharing, reusing content that you see on the internet. That's always a great idea to do. Another tip here is to post content that Instagram currently favors. So right now that is Instagram Reels. And a stat that they share is Reels perform better than 22% of feed posts on Instagram. So make sure you're posting Reels. And I gave some tips earlier, so rewind if you need to hear that again. And then the last tip here is to create intentional engagement. So if someone's scrolling on Instagram and they go past a post and they don't engage in it, you know, for whatever, they don't like it, they don't comment, they don't share it, they don't save it, they don't do anything to it, then Instagram is going to like mentally take that and be like, okay, this piece of content wasn't, you know, worthy of getting the engagement that it wanted to get. So then they're going to show it to fewer people the next time you post. So that's obviously not a good thing and not a situation you want to get into. So you want to be creating content that is intentionally engageable. So that doesn't necessarily always have to be sharing, but something that's like worthy, comment worthy, sending in the DMs, the view length on videos is important and the story and live views, story interactions, anything that's like having someone do an action that interacts with your account is going to favor you in Instagram's whole crazy algorithm. So some of the CTAs could be something about comment below or like tag a friend in the comments for this contest. That's, if you see people do that, that's literally part of the reason why the people do contests like that when they say something like, okay, like, share, follow this account, tag these three people in the comments that you want to win this award with, like this prize. So it's all for encouraging that engagement. So you should intentionally be creating engagement in your posts when you're looking to grow and as part of this growth strategy. So
I once won a beauty package from a company because I did exactly that. And I was like, my friend did it to me and I was like, I guess I'll do it back. And I won like a whole, like a $500 like package of like beauty products. So I was like, oh my God, I won.
I never win.
So you could
I,
actually win something from them. As well.
You could win too. You could win a free dinner. Maybe someone out there is giving me a free dinner. And for restaurants, there's so many fun things that you could do with, like, not always giveaways, but like discounts off a free small, something small. Maybe it's some sort of other initiative that you're like partnering with like a local something in the community. Yeah. So there's so many different contests that you could do. And I feel like those are always fun to look at. The only Emboss account on Instagram, they're always partnering with other restaurants. And so they'll be like, okay, win this $50 gift card. And in order to win, then you have to follow this Boston account and then also the restaurant. Right. And like, it's $50 in the grand scheme of like all that extra engagement, all that stuff. It's like,
yeah,
that's nothing. And I hear about restaurants that I didn't even know about in Boston before. Mm-hmm. And my roommate's always sending it to me. My friends in the area are always sending them to me. So that's just an example, like perfectly that how this kind of thing works out.
Great.
So yeah. So those are all, those are my tips. And I feel like this was a good episode of tips.
Tips and tricks. And you're ready for your performance next week as well.
I honestly am. I'm going to, you know, I'm ready to take this.
Yeah. You'll be great. Well, that was awesome. I learned a lot actually, that I didn't know before. Now I want to go to social media marketing world.
We can go together next year in San Diego.
Can't wait. Till next March.
Till next March, 2023.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, this was a great episode. Thanks for putting it together, Rachel. And for sharing all of your wealth of information when it comes to social media and marketing and everything else in between. So if you guys have any questions, you can always reach out to us. Rachel will probably answer them when it comes to the stuff.
Of course.
Paid ads. I can help you with that, but, but yeah, thanks for listening and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Are we bi-weekly now?
We're bi-weekly
now. Bi-weekly. Yeah. We're going to do bi-weekly for a little while. We just, Rachel and I have a lot on our plate, a triple seat. So we're just going to do it for a little while. We might come back to you every week, when things slow down a bit, but for now bi-weekly. So we'll see everyone in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Two Chicks, Three Seats,
your events industry podcast, brought to you by Triple Seat, the industry leader for event management software.
Find out more about Triple Seat at tripleseat.com.